due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
But here's the lesson you need to learn from history. Card subject to change. And that change in the face-to-face confrontation is for your benefit, Mr. Strowman. Because if Brock Lesnar came down to that ring to get those hands, he wouldn't have an opponent at the Royal Rumble event. He would just have another victim looking up from the canvas at the beast, Brock Lesnar.
Hey, you got the Funk Man here, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on WHTK.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome, wrestling fans, to the Pain Clinic for January 12th. Holiday today, real quick. Feast of Fabulous Wild Men Day. That's us, right? We are the Wild Men.
Wild Men. Wild Men.
All right. It's also National Pharmacist Day, so...
Where are you getting some of these holidays?
They're just out of the ether. Birthdays today, former guest and Killer BB, Brian Blair, is 60 today. Luna Vachon would have been 57, unfortunately. She passed away in 2010. Welcome to the show. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. You can join us at Salvatore's at the Garage Door and Salvatore's Saloon for UFC 234, February 9th. It's 149 Eastridge Road for the Salvatore's at the Garage Door. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. Hosted by us. Drink specials all night long. That's February 9th. Salvatore's Saloon in Scottsville. All these S's. So I might make a mistake and get fired. Salvatore's Saloon in Scottsville and Salvatore's at the Garage Door. UFC 234. February 9th. Welcome to the show. I'll say that one more time. Interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Their first game is February 16th, coming very quickly. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. I am the Cash Man. Welcome to the show this morning. I'm with the whole crew, DC Dan Cole.
Good morning.
Good morning, DC. We've got Danger Boy.
Good morning.
And we have Double B, Brian Burke.
Good morning.
Peter Burke. He's there, too. And we are here for you. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us at that number, too, if you're shy. Got a lot of things to talk about, and it's not going to start with John Cena's hair, okay? Yes, he does grow hair on top of his head. If you saw Bumblebee, you saw it, okay? No, we got lots of things going on. How are you guys doing today, by the way? How was your past weeks? I know it's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It's cold. I mean, it's January, so it's expected.
Yeah, but I mean, this is a perfect day then to sit home, sit back, and enjoy the painies, because today is our official... end of the year awards, the Painies.
And NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. That's this afternoon, I believe.
This afternoon? Blackpool. So what time do you think that would be on the network then?
If it starts at 7 there, it'd be 2 here. They're 5 hours ahead, so.
Okay. So we got that going on today, too, which is, man. And what they're coming to the end of a tournament, I believe, aren't they? Was that the women's belt tournament?
Belt has already been given out. Rhea Ripley has that.
Ah, okay. Okay, but very cool. So that's going on. How are you doing today, DC?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
This is like the first real week of January of 2019. I mean, think about it. We had like two half weeks the last couple weeks because of holidays and everything. And now we're back into our, back into our butt crack on the couch watching wrestling again every week, which, you know, maybe everyone wasn't. Maybe they were. I mean, we know the last couple weeks were all taped. This week, not so much. So this week was the kickoff with John Cena to WrestleMania, you know, the road to WrestleMania. And biggest news of the week. I don't know. Would we call this the biggest news of the week? All Elite Wrestling had a press conference Tuesday in a parking lot in Jacksonville. And All Elite, we've talked about it. We've said this is the company created by Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, Shad Khan, and as well as his father.
No, Tony Khan.
Tony Khan.
And Shad Khan just has money.
Shad Khan just has money. So there's
Tony
money.
Tony Khan's the one involved.
They had a big press conference. So why don't you talk about the press conference a little bit, Danger Boy?
Press conference happened Tuesday. It was, I think it was like 5:30, 6 o'clock. I was watching it on YouTube live. And they had a bunch of stuff come out that they hadn't mentioned before. The next show they are going to do is going to be Double or Nothing in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand, a 17,000-seat arena. So this will be a test because that's not a normal wrestling powerhouse city either. That will be May 25th. Then they're going to do another one in Jacksonville over the summer, where most of that, a good portion of the proceeds will go to victims of gun violence. So they don't have a name for that one yet. But they did trademark Fight for the Fallen, so that might be what they go with for that. They also mentioned a whole bunch of signings. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, so all of SoCal Uncensored. And then you got Joey Janela, and you had Pac show up, a.k.a. Neville. He's going to be there. He confronted Hangman Page. And you also had one Chris Jericho has signed a 3-year deal with AEW. And has signed. Another thing that came out is there's going to be a women's division. The women are going to be paid. There's going to be no wage gap between the women and men based on their spot in the card. It's not like everyone's going to make the same money as Chris Jericho, but based on their spot in the card, there's going to be no wage gap. And a lot of people are going to be getting office jobs, which means a lot of people will be actually employees, meaning a lot of wrestlers will be getting health insurance for the first time in their life. There was also a huge signing in that Pyro made a comeback, both on the stage there, and they had it shooting off of the stadium at the end. So that was always a bonus. And, yeah, they got their foot in the door. Chris Jericho announced on Busted Open Radio this week that he would not have signed if there was not a major television deal in the works. And apparently there's a couple stations they are talking to that when everybody sees it, he said, they will know exactly what he's talking about because it is going to be a big deal. So, yeah, they laid some groundwork on exactly. You don't know everything that's happening yet, but you got some more news than what we had before.
Definitely. And one big thing, too, is there's a lot of merchandise handout at the press conference. And just so happens, SmackDown was right next door getting ready to tape. And the WWE bouncers were stopping people with AEW wrestling gear on and making them take it off.
It depends who you talk to on that. There's some people that said they were denied entry because of it. There's some people who said that they were asked to change. There's some people who said that nothing of that happened and that people they did see that had issues were acting rowdy and would have been asked to leave anyways, regardless of what they were wearing. So it all depends on your perspective. And the WWE actually mentioned, one of the sources inside told Dave Meltzer they did not give that order to their security to remove people wearing that gear. So
I mean, it's so new. Would people even know who are, you know, people who've got their WWE blinders on wouldn't even have a clue who
the fans know. But the WWE knew what was going on. WWE knew Jericho was going to be signing. They had him out of that opening very quickly.
Yeah, there was a picture actually of Jericho and Triple H, I think at SmackDown, talking.
Jericho told him.
Yeah.
Jericho let them know what was going on with everything. Also, apparently, Cody and the Young Bucks all have a very good relationship with Triple H at this point based on the trying to sign them to contracts over the last 6 months.
Sure, and probably Kenny Omega in there too. Kenny Omega was...
Well, Kenny Omega can't talk contract with anybody because he is under a contract.
Yeah, but, you know, what? In Japan? How, you know, I'm sure he wouldn't sign until he was done at the end of the month, but we know he's done. We definitely know he's done with New Japan, so he is a free agent.
Yes.
WWE has
offered. He's playing everybody again.
WWE has apparently offered him the world. And I mean, you remember a year ago, was it a year ago at this time, John Cena posted the picture of Kenny Omega on his Twitter page?
WWE has offered him the world and he's expected to sign with AEW.
Really? Because it's like, and Danny, you had an interesting point on that.
Yeah, I fully anticipate Kenny Omega going to AEW. It only makes sense.
Oh, his friends, you know, they built what they did. You know, they all built that New Japan angle together. They do everything here together.
Right. But if he's serious about, you know, wanting to prove that he is the best, he needs to go to WWE. He talks a big game, but I'm sorry, he'll be in too small a pond in AEW, at least to start. And who knows, really, what the future does hold for AEW.
I can tell you someone that they are looking to sign when his contract runs out in a very short time.
Would that be someone from the South?
It would be someone from the South who pretty much
Styles
pretty much has all the leverage in the world to sign a monster deal with less time on the road.
Yeah, you know, someone who may have worked with these guys in New Japan before.
May be friends with the Young Bucks.
Yeah, well, everyone's friends with the Young Bucks. We're friends with the Young Bucks. Remember the picture we took with them?
Indeed. And can I put something in perspective?
Sure.
So here's how I knew last night that this AEW thing was a big deal. My wife, who used to be into wrestling, is no longer. Could not care less about it. We're driving home last night.
All right, Laura. Okay.
We're on the way home. She goes, so what's this about AEW? I'm like, wait, what?
You mean the root beer?
No. ANW?
It was ANW, sorry.
Like, even my wife had heard about it and knew there was buzz about it. So that tells me something right there.
Well, you know what's funny is, you know what it is she's the girl at work who, hey, your husband does a wrestling talk show. Hey, ask him about this. I guarantee, you know, if anybody knows that, that's what happens. So, but that's awesome, man. You know, and it is a big deal. So, man, this is what happens is going to unfold very soon. Who's leaving WWE and who, you know, I mean, obviously, if there's money behind it, you can sign someone like AJ Styles. You know, especially if they're offering a lessened workload, which they are.
Yes.
You know, in the beginning, at least, you know, I mean, if you're it's a startup, you know.
They also, if you watched Raw on Monday, the Revival wrestled, and on the back of their tights, it was hashtag FTR.
Yes.
That is a Young Bucks joke, and it stands for a very bad word, the Revival.
Interesting. And unfortunately, they lost again, but I love the Revival. The Revival would be a perfect wrestling. It's interesting. Do you think the WWE would let them do that? I mean, obviously they did, but
ATV. They might not have known what it meant.
I know, but do they have much say in what they wear out there? I mean, I'm guessing that there's
assume that stuff has to get run through somebody.
It does. It does. What does that mean? And they probably said something else.
It's not like people don't watch Being the Elite to see this stuff, because apparently Triple H was actually a big fan of Being the Elite.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, and that's why they were offered a time slot in the WWE network to do Being the Elite as part of their deal if they had signed with WWE.
Here's the other fun thing I saw. Do you remember like several months ago where someone leaked it online like there's going to be something huge happening at this year's Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
It was because they offered Cody and the Young Bucks and all those guys such ridiculous deals that WWE didn't think there was a chance they would turn them down. And they had significant plans for them from the Royal Rumble through like a huge storyline through WrestleMania.
Huh.
Like they had planned on it. And then this happened.
Oh, well, I guess we're going to be doing some rescheduling unless WWE, you know, that's funny that they actually offered them a spot on the network to do their show. Yep. Boy, it's hard to turn that down. Not only do you get a contract and control over what you do, but they also give you time on the network to do what you just copyrighted and everything and incorporated, you know? So interesting. Very interesting where this is going to fall. I did talk a little bit about this on Bob Matthews last week. Not quite to this detail, that's for sure, because you guys are the best in the business. 222-1280, star 1280 number. We've got Rick on the line. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We are doing fine. How are you doing this nice, cold, 22-degree morning here in Rochester?
I'm doing good. Wish it was a little warmer, but hey, that's all right. We'll survive. We're on this side of the earth. The ground, that's good.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, the upside, yeah, I guess. I
thought like my father says, I'd rather be seen than viewed.
All right, what's up, man?
Hey, just a few things on my mind. I really liked the Hogan spot at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. It was was really sincere. I liked the video package that WWE put together for Mean Gene. Man, what a talented guy that he was, man. He did a lot of stuff behind the scenes, I heard. Very, very familiar voice. I loved watching WWF Superstars and Wrestling Challenger and Main Event back in the day when he used to go up on the podium and interview people like Kamala and stuff like that. It was different. It was just a fun time back then.
Yeah, I mean, he was here in town when they had those tapings here in town. I'm sure you saw it clear as day when he was out there interviewing people. Mean Gene, he is a. I thought it was interesting, and I do want to talk. Maybe we'll do a little bit later about Hogan's whole appear to be ad-libbed segment on Monday Night Raw. But you know, it was nice. Video was great. They showed the same thing on SmackDown the next night. You know, Gene was so popular that they took him from just being the announcer to putting him in those skits. So you know, I mean, you know, like training with Hogan, all that fun stuff. So yeah, it was good. And Hogan, you know what? Not too much. I love they played him off, and then we didn't hear again from him tonight. So I think that they're just going to give us little pieces of him for a while until they really want to reinsert him in. But I will say, sure. I will say one thing: a lot of kids out there have no idea who Hulk Hogan is. A lot of little kids out there, you know, the parents know. So you know, they're the ones in the Hulkamania shirts and stuff. But in reality, if you listen to the crowd when he came out, not huge pop, not really a lot. You know, he couldn't get the crowd going with his cup to the hand cup to the ear. So you know, I don't know where their stands. I mean, you know, it was kind of a sad situation, so it's not like you want to go out there and, you know, do be like a pep rally or anything. You know, you see, you're eulogizing the, you know, a very, the man in the Hall of Fame. So
right. Yeah. And you must have had tremendous respect from Vince and the guys in corporate. A couple years ago when he was still around, I checked his Wikipedia page, and you know, I guess he had a lifetime contract with him. So it's like, man, what respect he had from the guys down in corporate.
Well, he was still doing stuff on the network whenever
he
could.
Doing stuff here and there, but I mean, just to have, like, you know, doing spot appearances and different promos and things, you know, different legend things. It was pretty good career. Yeah.
Like the way that ended. It's like, where else, you know, I mean, wrestling gave him a great life, you know, and allowed him to do a lot of things that probably wouldn't have done anywhere else. So, you know, I mean, yes, he, you know, he was very loyal.
Yeah, the Legends house is awesome. He's hitting on those girls and drinking. He was a wild dude.
Yeah, but he's also the guy that freaking, you know, people talked, you know, down. I mean, he would talk down like Pat Patterson from being all bummed out and stuff, you know? He was like the guy that everybody went to. He was like, you know, which was pretty cool, you know? I mean, but yeah, that was cool. So what else, Rick?
Now, I'm glad to see the Ambrose Rollins program end with the match at the end of the show. And I'm kind of excited to see this Lashley-Rollins feud start up. I think it's going to be stronger than the Ambrose one. I guess Vince didn't appear to think that Ambrose had the, you know, the top heel guy in the company, so he's thinking Lashley and Lashley-Rollins would do it better.
Nah, I don't know. I mean, Brock Lesnar technically probably is the top heel on Raw.
Well, he's got his own stuff going on whenever he wants to appear.
Yeah, but I don't know. You know what? We know Vince was upset at the last pay-per-view, the match between those. He felt that they lost the crowd, and they did at times when you heard the chanting. But I don't know. Both those guys are great. I don't have a problem with either of them. I think Dean Ambrose is fantastic. I would keep him. You know, but I mean, obviously.
Well, they're going to start something with Cena, I guess. They were saying Ambrose and Cena, possibly.
Well, Cena's got his pigeonholed for somebody else, we hear. We'll talk about that later. But
according to the internet, not that everything's obviously true, but they were saying they might start up something with that and have a, you know, build up to WrestleMania.
Well, we heard Cena's got someone else set up, and we'll talk about that later, like I said.
Okay, and last thing that you're talking about. All Elite Wrestling, AEW. Did you hear that little poke from Graves on, I think it was on Raw? I don't know if it was a dig at them. He said, during one of the matches, he's like, yeah, our wrestlers are elite, very elite.
Well, of course. They use the word impact all the time, too, you know, to take little shots at their competition, you know?
And last thing on my mind about these, I've been seeing video packages for the last 3-4 weeks here from you know, Sullivan and Lacey Evans and things like that. I guess Sullivan had to report back to Colorado for some testing. I guess he had a panic attack or something.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of what we're going to talk about with John Cena, because that's really John Cena's destiny at WrestleMania is Lars Sullivan. So.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to steal your thunder.
That's okay. I mean, we're going to get there eventually anyway. So maybe we'll talk about it later. But yeah, he had a panic attack. I'm not even sure if they know where he is. I mean, according to he's either going back to where NXT trains in Orlando and where he lives, or Colorado. But who knows? I mean, there's some truth behind the panic attack, and it was supposed to be Monday he was going to debut. Was it a dark match?
Yeah, it was supposed to be a dark match, and then he was going to debut again on Tuesday in a dark match because he had talked to him, and then he never showed up.
Yeah, so that being said, you know, I mean, that's what I think John Cena was pigeonholed for. We'll see what happens. That's why I said when he came out and he was talking with McIntyre there in the beginning, it seemed like maybe they were setting something up, but who knows, Rick. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
All right, guys, have a good one.
All right, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. We want to do one of these awards before we go to break here.
Well, we got nine. We got to do them.
We definitely got. Hold on, let me get the music ready. Ready? All right, what do we want to start with?
Well, you tell me. It's your show, Cash.
I'll start with one. Mine, the first award of the day given out, the Breakout Star of the Year. Breakout Star of the Year. And some little sound effects there. The Breakout Star of the Year, voted on by you, the fans of the Pain Clinic, with 60.71%. The Breakout Star of the Year was the man, Becky Lynch, runner-up Velveteen Dream. You want to do another one?
We can.
Let's do another one before we go to break.
I got Faction of the Year.
Faction of the Year.
Faction of the Year.
Fraction of the Year. Two-thirds. Two-thirds.
Improper. And your Faction of the Year. The Elite.
Ah.
With 42.86% of the vote, your runner-up, Undisputed Era, with 28%.
All right. Two incredible groups that are working in wrestling right now. Speaking of, we're playing little Kenny Omega to go to break here. We're going to break. We'll be back on the flip side with more Painies. And your call is 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
More students.
I am the most dangerous man in WWE and John Cena. I've come for you now.
And Shinsuke, you can mess with me all you want. But once you mess with my wife, you cross a line. And you cross a line that you cannot come back from. So Shinsuke, come out here and I promise you, I am gonna break every single bone in your fragile body. And I promise, I am gonna crush you.
Stay.
Guys, I was feeling pretty good. Started the show with a brawl. Came out here. Amazing noise. You guys were into it. And then this. And now I'm sad. Because what's really sad about this is, Drew, I've heard the same thing every week from practically every single superstar. So much so that I had to leave so you guys would shut your mouth and think of a different promo. What makes you any different than anyone else?
I'm WWE superstar John Cena, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Okay. Whose music is this? I know you got Danny knows it because he's been singing along.
I know it.
I know it too. That's why I like it. And hopefully this guy will be up on WWE soon too. You know, up on SmackDown or Raw.
Oh, you want to see him on 205 Live?
No, I don't want to see him. That's where they
would
put him.
What's wrong with that? 205 Live is a wonderful program.
It is
a wonderful program that no one watches.
Yeah, and that's Johnny Gargano, by the way. And before that, we went in with Kenny Omega, where I hear Mothra. I'm sorry. I think it's calling Mothra. So yeah, well, I'll play it again later, and we'll figure it out. But welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with DC Dan Cole, Double B, Brian Burke, Danger Boy, you, me. It's all of us in here together. We're doing this thing, and I want to let you know we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and donuts to light Empire Culver. You can join us February 9th. I believe it's Super Bowl weekend. I think it's the day before the Super Bowl. Super Bowl is February 10th. I'm sorry.
No, Super Bowl's February 3rd.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. Never mind. It's the weekend after UFC 230. Maybe I got the wrong date on this. I'm going to double check that now because I thought it was Super Bowl weekend. But nevertheless, UFC 234, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, Salvatore's Saloon. No cover charge ever. Come on, hang out with us at Salvatore's at the Garage Door watching UFC guys pound each other. Big news this past week. John Jones has got another fight. He's going to be on UFC 235. It's going to be in Vegas. You know what that means? He passed every test. He will be able to fight in Vegas. Actually, it came out after he won in California that he his post-test fights were completely clean. His pre-test fights were completely clean. So John Jones vindicated temporarily. We'll see how he does in 235. He can fight back in Vegas now. They don't have to move the whole card 5 days before the actual fight, which is good. I mean, he's got a fight. Smith, I believe the guy's name is Anthony Smith. He's fighting next, a guy who's got 31 wins in the UFC or in MMA. So be a good fight. I'm looking forward to it. This weekend we have wrestling is going on, right? Right, Bri? You got that information, dude?
Do I?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have to pull it up. I don't have
Pineapple Jacks tonight.
Eagles Club.
Eagles. Oh, is that the Eagles? Back at the Eagles
back
Club?
Back at the Eagles Club.
Well, the Eagles Club, I heard, renovated.
I think that's why they weren't there yet.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. So we got a UPW show going on tonight. We'll get details on that in a little bit. But what did you guys, what did you guys think about Hulk Hogan's, eulogy? We talked about it briefly there with Rick. But, I mean, I kind of was watching it, and I was getting a feeling that maybe there was nothing written, and he was using, he had all his catchphrases set up in a row in his head, and he was just going to work from one to the next to the next. Any thoughts on that?
I can see that being true. I can see them giving him, like, bullet points to hit. But, I mean, how do you script someone's eulogy of somebody?
True, but I mean, especially in wrestling, when no one's going to come out and jump anybody in the middle of it.
Yeah,
it's
especially
real.
With Hulk Hogan, who never worked off a script when he was younger. And when he did work off a script, they were terrible movies. Like Three Ninjas.
And TV shows.
Yeah.
What was it? The one with the boat?
Thunder in Paradise?
Thunder in Paradise, yes. He was the one that brought him to WCW because Ted Turner bankrolled this TV show or whatever. But I just was watching it, and it's like, I just felt that I didn't think he connected with the audience. I don't know if that's me or not anybody. What do you guys think? 222-1280, star 1280. Did Hulk Hogan connect with the audience? No, I didn't think so either. I mean, well, like I said, they weren't popping for his ear cupping.
They had Hogan, Cena, and Brock Lesnar, and just a little blip of a ratings increase.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that says a lot about just the overall product that they're putting out there every week.
I will say the ratings increase also was because the week, listen, they actually going up from last week was good, but it was against the college football's championship game, which takes, even the casual viewer will go over and watch that. But it went up from like a 1.6 to like a 1.9 something. So that it definitely went up, but it was also bouncing back from the holiday season too, which we've seen record lows.
I just don't think it was the spot for Hogan to come back. I think it would have been much more meaningful to that great video package they had of Mean Gene. Interlace some interviews with some of those guys, because think about what you're doing. You're having Hulk Hogan come out to try to rile up the crowd to eulogize somebody.
You're right. And it's a sad time,
It's like, why he's there. He's here to talk about somebody that just died. So I wouldn't get too excited.
You're right. And the fact that, and I hate to say that maybe some of these old school guys are lost on the youth of today, but there's kids out there maybe don't know who Mean Gene is. There's kids out there, and unfortunately, if you look at the crowd, there's kids in the crowd, okay? And people don't know Hulk. They didn't have to go through the Hulk years. Didn't have to suffer through them like most of us had to. But I'm sorry, there's a lot of Hulkamaniacs out there. I'm not giving you to do just there, I mean,
Hulk Hogan won that title 35 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh.
For the first time, the WWF title.
Yeah, that's back in the days when they held it for a year or two straight,
Yeah.
And I mean, they've been trying to do that with Brock, have him hold it long term and everything. And they did do a good job with some of these titles. They feel it's real reestablishing the importance of the title.
Well, we don't get to see all Brock's title defenses across the universe. It is the universal title.
Apparently so. Yeah, so on other planets, is he beating Thanos with the glove? You know,
well, I think Thanos is in the number one contenders match.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know who would be against him because there's nobody that powerful when he's got that glove on.
Well, he can't use the glove. It's a forbidden weapon.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the old coal miner's glove. Remember those? They used to have the coal miner glove.
Yeah,
on
they have
a
gauntlet
match. Yeah, gauntlet match.
Infinity Stone gauntlet match.
You guys want to watch some good stuff? Go to YouTube and type in like coal miner's glove matches and watch the bloodbaths you get to see during these matches when these guys hit each other with these supposed steel reinforced gloves. It's interesting, but no, Thanos isn't showing up anytime soon. And you know, have Brock is flying everywhere. I mean, you know, Universal, I don't know what that pertains to because I don't see him fighting anybody from outside of the WWE or anybody.
They don't air it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. It's of course, why would they promote somebody else someplace
else?
He's
just sitting at home on his farm. Relaxing
it's
when
Saskatchewan.
He's not.
Yeah. He's watching the Lucha Party rules matches, you know, he's according to Seth Rollins, you know, as he took pokes at everybody a couple weeks ago, you know, making fun of the past booking. A lot of people, you know, I was talking with Chad. You remember Chad, our friend Chad, who played music for us on our 20th anniversary show. I was talking with Chad, and he was very excited about, he thought SmackDown was a great show this past week.
SmackDown was a great show
this week. It was, wasn't it? Much better than Raw. So
SmackDown's been a great show for a while.
They pace it right. When you start with a match, I'm happy, you know, a lot of times. It's fun when that happens instead of a lot of verbose people, you know, just talking and talking and talking and trying to set things up and... You know,
well, I mean, everyone complains about how frantic it is when they work SmackDown as opposed to Raw that works in WWE, but it comes off like a much better show when you're not wasting an hour just talking during the show.
True. You know,
and it opened with a great promo by Daniel Bryan out at the concession stand.
Yes. Making fun of everybody getting the cheesy fries or whatever it was they were getting there.
Or wasting plastic in their merch and all that kind of stuff.
That's what I love too. Is he went after the merch table too, which is pretty cool. I mean, Daniel Bryan. I enjoy Daniel Bryan. I don't care if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I would like to watch him and AJ Styles in every main event pay per view. Okay, because they're both great wrestlers, and they both know how to tell a story. And I mean, like after what Daniel Bryan did with Brock Lesnar this past year, where he. AJ Styles with Brock Lesnar. He got to do, actually Daniel Bryan as well. Got to wrestle and put on an incredible, storyline, you know, by getting beaten for 10 minutes straight and then coming back and almost beating Brock and just making you think you could actually do it. There's not a lot of guys in the company that can put together a match like Daniel Bryan. So power to him. I don't care if people hate him. I don't know. What do you think, Danger?
I love Daniel. I love the heel character. I love what he's doing with it. It's great what he's doing, and he's turned the crowd against him in a matter of weeks. He's shown people that it can be done. You can get people to actually hate you, even if you're good, and still enjoy your matches.
Yeah, and put on great matches. And,
yes.
You know, I mean, yes, he's the granola-eating, you know, green party environmentalist.
They've used him to elevate a 205 Live guy.
True.
To a main spot on SmackDown.
And by the way, he's fantastic, too.
Yes,
I enjoy
he is.
Every match that guy
And he
is
comes
in.
Out like a LED Sub-Zero.
Yeah, it's really pretty cool. We're going to go to break again here, but we got some more painties to do. So we got to hold on. Randy Orton News Network. Here we go.
Here, let's do Tag Team of the Year, and we're going to get Peter Burke to actually announce Tag Team of the Year. So, Peter, go ahead, open up that envelope.
Speak loud and clear. This is your one chance. This is your one chance. Folks, you're voting on it. I have an idea.
Tag team of the year. We'll get this out here. All right.
Talking to a microphone that's on, too.
So the painties, your painty for tag team of the year for 2018 is?
The Young Bucks. Runner-up, the Usos.
Do you have the percentage there? Or is it,
the Young Bucks had 39.29%.
Wow, that's closer than I expected.
Usos had 28.57%.
Wow. Much closer than I expected. I would expect the Young Bucks to run away with it. How about we get to do another one before we go to break?
All right, I got promotion of the year.
Promotion of the year?
Yes.
Let me guess. WCW.
Yes, WCW wins in 1997.
Okay.
And your promotion of the year, with 57.14% of the vote, NXT. The runner-up was WWE with 25% of the vote.
I think ever since we've been doing this, they've won. NXT has won every year they've been around.
And when I was looking at the results, I thought to myself, why has it been this way? And I had a thought. Whenever I know there's an NXT TakeOver event coming up, I know I'm going to get something great. So I always watch thinking, what awesomeness am I going to see? Whenever I watch a WWE event, I think, what are they going to do to disappoint me tonight? that's the honest truth.
How are they going to screw this up?
Right.
And they're only number one and two because there's not a whole lot of viewership for the others.
I know,
because it's hard to watch. And
Ring of Honor is on about 16 times every weekend. You know, I mean, yeah.
Now their talent pool's been rated even further now.
Yeah, they are. They're going through some growth. They're gonna have, you know, they sold out Madison Square Gardens with New Japan. Who's gonna be wrestling when it comes to WrestleMania week?
Ticket sales, the secondary market for the tickets on that may go down drastically.
I think they already have.
Oh, that's not good.
The tickets are already sold, so they already got the money. So.
Right. That's true. They've already sold out. So we're gonna go to break on that. We'll be back. We got one, two. Wait a second. How many more do we got? I got one.
I think we have five left.
Okay, we're going to pound them out in the next segment. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You're up there, and all the angels are singing Tutti Frutti on top of those big white clouds. I know that you're putting the greatest tag match together, brother. The tag match between the Macho Man, ooh yeah, Randy Savage, and the Ultimate Warrior versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Perfect. And I also know that Andre the Giant is a special referee, brother. And I also know you're probably breaking up a fight between your close personal friends, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan. And you know something, Mean Gene? I heard those weights clanging and banging up there at the pearly gates. And brother, you don't have to get so swole up. You've only got a choice between Moolah and Mae Young, brother.
Because in tonight's triple threat match, I can do whatever I want. And Charlotte and Carmella, they're just a formality. And come Royal Rumble, Asuka's gonna have to do a whole lot more than just climb a ladder. She knows. She knows. She's on borrowed time until the man comes around.
All right, this is The Undertaker of the World Wrestling Federation, American Badass, and now you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. This is a nice time when The Undertaker was American Badass. It's a while ago, and I mean, you can tell because he said WWF, but to welcome back to the show, DC, Danger Boy, Bud Double B, Brian Burke, and me, your humble host, the Cash Man, and we're going to do some more painies here. Hopefully you guys got a chance to vote in them. We talked about them last week, and we're going to go right to them. What are we going to start with next? We've got so many left over. I've got a major one, so mine's going to be one of the last few ones.
I think I have one of the non-major ones, and then I think the rest of the four are the pretty major ones, Let's get this one out of the way. It's the unscripted moment of the year.
Unscripted moment of the year. Ho-ho! Sorry, I'm doing a Ed McMahon. Nobody gets the joke, but go ahead.
Yeah, speaking of outdating people.
Unscripted. Yeah.
This one wasn't even close. With 67.86% of the vote, Roman Reigns announces his leukemia has returned.
Ooh, yeah.
Second place was Daniel Bryan returning, but that only had 14% of the vote.
Wow. So the other ones all split it up pretty good. So, yeah, well, it was. That shocked us all. I mean, you know, when he comes out in normal clothes on a Monday Night Raw when nobody knows what he's out there for. I think that really, you know, surprised. I mean, it made national news. Not only did it, you know, was it covered by WWE, but it was covered by, you know,
everybody,
Hollywood,
yeah.
Everything. So, it was,
well, and to me too, the lasting impact of that moment was not only what he was saying, but realizing if WWE had just let him be himself, they would have had the star they wanted years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, because when he comes back, super over.
Yeah, he's gonna be super.
They'll bring him back as a heel though.
Why not? Yeah, you know, I think they're trying their best to ruin Becky Lynch. So, what do we want to go with the next award? How about?
Well, what do we have left? I have female wrestler.
I've got male of the wrestler.
I've got event,
and I got match.
Okay, match is the last one. So, event's next.
Okay, I'll do event.
Ho-ho, what's in the envelope?
Okay, Swami.
Pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, but wild stuff. Wicked wild stuff.
Event of the year. Ooh, there's a tie.
A tie? Like the one I've got on?
Yes, like okay. The tie you have on right now.
Okay.
The tie is between All In and NXT TakeOver New Orleans.
Ah, good one.
They both had 28.57%.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was definitely good ones. The NXT TakeOver, but probably I think it was the best night I've ever wrestling I've ever watched this past year. Before that, I think it was the first War Games was my favorite one. So,
and I think if I'm remembering the poll results correctly, that would have been third place by like maybe a vote.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they were all four worthy contenders for that. So
yeah, did that? Yeah, every NXT just blows away anything WWE is doing for, you know, athletic ability, matches, you know, pacing, you know, and they do it with five matches, maybe four sometimes, you know.
In my mind, too, those both won for totally different reasons. NXT for the quality of it, but All In for the importance of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I would agree. So, okay, here we come. I'll go with male of the year just to show this is not a female-dominated world, okay? Well, I will open the envelope for the next award, which is the Male Wrestler of the Year. Male Wrestler of the Year. Voted on you, the fans of the Pain Clinic. With a 35.71% vote, we've got AJ Styles as the Wrestler of the Year. I don't know that, but this is how close second was. Runner-up, Kenny Omega, 28.57. So it wasn't even a 7% difference between first and second, but AJ Styles winning Male of the Year, Male Wrestler of the Year. I agree.
I mean, I don't think you can argue. AJ Styles was champion, what, almost pretty 11 much months out of the year?
Yeah, 11 months out of the year, and won every every major match he was in, and we've got to saw a lot of stuff. We got to see him against Brock Lesnar last year. Remember that? That was, you know, once again, Brock Lesnar with some of the guys you wouldn't expect to put on good matches did.
That was over a year ago.
Was it over a year ago?
That was 17. That was SummerSlam 17, or Survivor Series 17.
That's right. Oh, man, that's right. Because that's when everything got shot, thrown away, and they had to start from scratch pretty much. So, well, I guess we go to Female Wrestler of the Year next.
I have that one.
What is the female, pretty wild. Yeah, Swami, tell us what is in that envelope.
And your Female Wrestler of the Year. I don't think this is going to be a surprise to anybody. It wasn't even close. The first time ever a man has won Female Wrestler of the Year.
Not a man.
The man. Becky Lynch, 78.57% of the vote.
Wow.
And I mean, and there was
here's how not even close this was. There was a tie for runner up, Rousey and Flair, 7%.
Wow. Oof. Wow. That, you know what? You guys voted on it, and then, I mean, you know, so we got one left then, I guess, right?
Yep. We got match of the year. Are we ready for match of the year?
Let's do match of the year.
All right. Well,
this is always kind of a controversial one because people, you know, because there's matches that we can't really cover that are on there, you know, that.
Okay, with 39.29% of the vote, your match of the year is Omega versus Okada. 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit, Dominion.
Yes.
The runner-up with 32.14% was Lynch, Flair, and Asuka at TLC.
Okay, and that was, wow. I'm kind of surprised because there were some other ones that were on the list that I thought may be higher than at least second place. Wow. But that Kenny Omega is really kind of what set up him losing here at the end of the year or the beginning of the year.
Well, for those that are WWE fans, I think that was the only WWE match that was on the ballot, right? Was the women's match there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, it was. So, wow.
So that may have bumped the number up a little bit.
See, and you said it was going to be controversial? I don't agree with it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a good match. It wasn't the best that those two had. No. I don't think. I think it was the most significant because it was when we finally saw Kenny Omega climb the mountain to win the title. My vote, honestly, in the polls was Gargano Almas. From TakeOver. That was my match of the year.
That was incredible. Unbelievable, incredible match. And on that note, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back, talk about UPW show. It's in town tonight. We'll do that on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. If you disagree with any of your picks, because they're not even our picks. They're your picks. But maybe you have an addendum to it and you don't want to add something. But we'll be back on the flip side after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn of the WWE, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Listen and feel the pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Coming to Billy Gunn, let us back. Billy Gunn being now a producer with AE Wrestling, All Elite. Who one of the names that popped out? Lots of names popping out. I like pyro too. That'd be fun. Lots of pyros between every. We should do them between paintings. You know, we could almost take this show on the road and do the paintings like live on a stage.
We should.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Like the Dundies?
Yeah, like the Dundies. We'll have to go to, like, you know, Applebee's or something, you know?
We did hit cash real quick, I? We did have two auxiliary paintings.
Okay.
Just ones where we couldn't think of enough competition to really put it out for a vote, but we still thought they were, you know, deemed worthy of receiving a painting this year.
Sure.
Rookie of the year was Nicholas.
Yeah, he won a tag team title in his first match.
Yeah, you can't beat that. And then he retired a champion. Yeah,
lots of records there.
And then your spot of the year, we might have to have a little debate, but I think it's a no-brainer. The Adam Cole super kick on an upside-down moonsaulting Ricochet.
Yeah.
Well, Ricochet doing the double off the top of the cage.
That was impressive. But the skill and timing for Adam Cole to kick him,
yes,
like square in the jaw as he's upside down flying through the air, that was unbelievable.
That was, yeah. Well, it's tough. Spot of the Year is a tough one because there's been some incredible ones. And I mean, I think have you seen Wrestle Kingdom yet?
Not all of it.
Okay. Never mind. There's still a spot in that Kenny Omega match that just blew my mind. How the dude does not have a broken back after doing it. So
we'll talk about it next year when it's eligible.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about
that. There you go, Cash. Write in your nominations now.
Yeah, but that was early. That was early on in the match. So to me, it was maybe one didn't mean as much if it was in the first 10 minutes as compared to the last 10. So. Someone texted us and they said, any chance Kevin Owens returns for WrestleMania? I think Kevin Owens will be back for the Royal Rumble, if you ask me. So,
I think they're going to have to bring him and Zayn back to make some of that pop that they usually get. They didn't get the guys they were trying to sign. So
no, and then they always still have surprises. Maybe Shawn Michaels will pop up again. You know, I mean, now I know we saw it once or twice already this year. And Shawn does, you know, I mean, if you listen to Shawn Michaels, he's completely critical of his appearance. He hates it. He didn't want to do it. He did it though.
So I know you didn't see the whole AEW press conference.
You're correct.
Danger, I don't know if you saw. Did you see the subtle jab Jericho took at WWE? Where he was talking about how Jericho just loves, like, coming back, but not just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
He likes to reinvent himself. He's totally called out. He goes, like, when I see DX come back. And he just kind of is like, I don't get it. They come back. They do the same thing. Like, I just don't get it. In which I'm like, damn, he's not wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I cringe when I see them do that again. I cringe.
Especially seeing as they're both in, like, one's almost 50 and the other is in his 50s. And they're acting like they're 12.
Yeah, and I mean, and they, you know, and they pick a fight with the guys who are like the least relatable to humans, you know, of all the wrestlers there. You know, it's the guys who are more, you know, angelic or demonic or whatever you place it. You know, in these true characters that survived the days when they used to have characters. So, it makes a lot of sense. So. I'm still thinking about the spots. You know, there's just been some. You know, some of them just blow you away. Like, have you seen the one with the girl who chokes another girl out with something that she? No, I can't talk about that. But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Why are you giving airtime?
Nah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk that. There's some stuff going around on the internet. If you check it out,
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. I mean, it's all part of the storyline. You know, so let's get some news in the last minute and a half we've got here.
Well, you want to go with Upstate first?
Yeah, let's do Upstate. What's going
on
tonight?
Pro Wrestling presents Wrestle Bowl 19 today at the Eagles Club on Hinchy Road. Doors open at 5:30. First bell at 6. Tickets are $18 at the door. I'm not sure if front row is still available. That'd be 20. So we have a couple of matches where we don't have announced challengers, but Matt Cross will be in action and the McLeods will be in action.
You might remember Matt Cross from the last WWE. What was it called
Tough
again?
Enough.
Tough Enough. Yeah, he did the last WWE. He's the guy who actually got kicked off the show for doing the right thing as a wrestler. Okay, yeah. I'll just put that out there.
The Process versus the Wrestling Liberation Front. Nick Ando versus Jay Freddy. Cheech versus Sean Carr. Cheech is the UPW 585 Live champion. That will be on the line. The UPW Tag Team Championships on the line. The Champions Defiance versus Vile Society. Our friend who we thought was going to be here today will be defending the No Limits Championship. Colin Delaney versus Bam Bam. There'll be a Hall of Fame induction, which I won't mention the name. You'll have to find out when you go. And the Heavyweight Championship, the champion Icon Ace, will be facing Lionel Knight. There's a few good matches on there.
Oh, man, it's exciting. And it's like nice that Matt Cross is coming. And I mean, we had him in the studio 18 years ago, the last time he was here, or maybe 17 years ago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time.
It's when we were in a production studio over at Midtown Plaza. That was our studio back then. And I'm not making fun of it or anything, but that's really what it was. It was a production studio. So on that note, we're going to be getting out of here. I want to tell you, I do have shouts out to Jericho. I have shouts out to the Cons, Chad and Tony, and someone from All Elite Wrestling. We need to get them on this show to talk about what's going on. And so if you guys know Jericho, give him a poke or something. Tell him I'm waiting on him to get a reply to me, as well as anybody from All Elite. Heck, Cody Rhodes would be nice to have on here. We never had Cody on this show. I'm going to make an effort this week to get Cody on, see if we can do it. And
be a good time to have him.
It definitely is. It's a good time to be Cody Rhodes.
And when his contract is up with ROH, I would not be surprised to see Marty Scurll going to.
Oh, sure. Speaking of it, as we end with Marty Scurll, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for voting in the Painies. We are out of here for the week. We'll be here next week, next Saturday, every Saturday, 10 a.m. on Fox Sports 1280. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week. Check us out online. All our old shows are on iTunes, and you can find them on thepainclinic.net. We'll see you next week.
Winter is here, and the team at Crossfield Heating and Air is ready to help you lower your heating bills with a new Trane furnace. Trane furnaces are legendary for their reliability.